Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate.
Thank you, Nathan and Kayla. Thank you, Pastor Chuck. Thank you, Ed. Thank you once again to all of the volunteers for Awana. It is hard for you and I to even estimate or calculate what has been done in the hearts of the children that you ministered to this year. It is something that will go on long after you and I have gone to be with the Lord. So once again, thank each one of you. And in the spirit of Awana, where we bring knowledge of God to these children and help them to come to know the Lord and help them to live lives that honor Him, I offer you this. Listen to the words of Francis Thompson. I fled down the nights and down the days. I fled down the arches of the years. I fled down the limerick way of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. And under running laughter, up vested hopes I sped, and shot precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasm fears from those strong feet that followed after. But with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, they beat. And a voice beat, more instant than the feet. All things betray thee who betrayeth me. I pleaded outlaw-wise by many a hearted casement, curtained red, trellised with intertwining charities. For though I knew his love who followed, yet I was sore adread, lest having him I should have naught beside. But if one little casement parted wide, the gust of his approach would clash it too. Fear wist not to evade, as love wished to pursue. Across the margent of the world I fled, and troubled the gold gateway of the stars, smiting for shelter on their clanged bars, fretted to dulcet jars and silvern chatter, the pale ports of the moon. I said to dawn, be sudden, to eve, be soon. With thy young sky blossoms, heap me over with from this tremendous lover. Float thy vague veil around me, lest he see. Those lines are from a poem entitled The Hound of Heaven by Francis Thompson, which was published in the 1890s. In it, Thompson chronicles the pursuit of a loving God. But unlike the poetry of Thompson, I learned early in life that God had his own pack of hounds. Yes, the hound had a litter. And if you've ever had hound dogs, you'll know the impact of that. And they reminded me of Thompson's description of the pursuit of a loving God. They were relentless. Growing up in America during the 1950s and 60s, I knew about Jesus. Although my family was not religious, I saw movies about the life of Christ. I saw television evangelists preaching about Jesus Christ. I saw people of faith going to church, living out their faith, and witnessing to those around them about the saving gospel. But that was not what shaped my views of God and Jesus. From those, I learned about Jesus. But my initial impressions about the love of God and His passion for me were greatly influenced by my Aunt Cheryl. There was something very different about her. But what impressed me most was her zeal for the Lord. When the hounds of heaven were released upon the world, I knew that my Aunt Cheryl was leading the pack. Her testimonies during church, the hymns she loved to sing, and her pursuit of those she loved that she knew were straying from the faith are legendary. I recall hearing about a time when she saw a relative of hers in the grocery store. Upon seeing her, he fled down the aisle, hoping to escape, but it was too late. She yelled after him, "That's all right. I'll meet you at the other end." And she did. The hound held him at bay until her master came and reclaimed what was his. Unknowingly, her life and witness for Christ left an impression on me that has never faded. Psalm 127, which Ed just read, serves as a reminder to us that human effort is doomed to failure if the Lord is not the builder and the architect of our lives. Our efforts are in vain. Our sleep is fitful, and true rest will not come. And those that are lost in their sin, alienated from God, have no idea that His blessings await them, not just in heaven, but in this life. And one of God's greatest blessings to us is children. They are a heritage that lives on after we're gone. If you and I want to live a life of purpose, purpose that benefits others long after we have gone to be with the Lord, we must realize our responsibility to raise godly children. And we must constantly ask ourselves about what our daily life is testifying about. Are we walking in loving obedience to our Lord? Are we witnessing to people about the fate that awaits them unless they stop their hectic pursuit of this life long enough to hear the voice of the hound of heaven? Knowing that their eternity is in the balance, do we let those around us stand in judgment before their Creator without ever hearing about the salvation that is found in Christ alone? Today, we recognize people who volunteered their time, prayer, and efforts to honor God by teaching Awana kids about God's love and sacrifice for them. At least 5 kids made decisions for the Lord this year in Awana. 5 children were reborn into the family of God. And that is huge. But there is much more work that remains to be done. And like the children who were brought to our church each week by their parents, or those brought to Awana by the gracious devotion of our volunteers in the vans, there are people in our communities that we encounter regularly that we have not witnessed to about Christ. We have not invited them to attend church with us. We have not answered their questions that have kept them from accepting Jesus. What has happened to the church in America that has silenced our witness for Christ in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the homes of America? Do we think that streaming our service over the internet is sufficient witness to the lost? Where are the hounds of heaven that pursue the lost in the name of Christ? We have all heard sermons and read in our Bibles of the great love that Jesus had for children. And as he used them as examples of how you and I should be in our humble acceptance and love of him, they are an example to us. How many times do we think of the opposite, where we think of us as adults or parents as setting an example for them? And as usual, Jesus turns that on its head and uses them as an example for us. There's much to learn about being humble and just loving the Lord. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was criticized for socializing and eating with sinners. In response, Jesus told a series of parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. In each of these parables, Jesus was trying to show that our salvation is only possible because the hound of heaven could not but pursue us, could not but pay whatever price was mandated until his love overtook us and saved us. His gift to us is of such tremendous value that we should be excited and motivated to share the great news with everyone we know. The hound of heaven gave to the world he loved the greatest thing of value he possessed, his only son. We have been given the greatest gift of all time. Nothing else even comes close to being given eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and being sons and daughters of God. So we should do as those did in the parables. We should let everyone we meet know about the goodness of God, the promise of eternity, and the great price Jesus paid to secure the most precious gift to the world that he loves. During our award ceremony last Wednesday, Skip Barnt spoke about his time with the high schoolers studying about witnessing. And he said that the main point that he discussed was that whether we know it or not, we are always witnessing. But what is our witness telling those around us? Is our witness effectively honoring Christ? In the book of Revelation, in his letter to the church at Laodicea, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" The most famous verse in the world that almost everybody knows is John 3:16. But John 3:16 has a couple of verses that follow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. As we celebrate the dedication of those in our body who have risen to the Awana call and testified of the love of Christ, so we, as the body of Christ, call upon those who may be here today or may be watching on the internet that do not know Jesus or that may have faltered in their walk with him. Jesus is standing at the door. He is knocking. He died so that you can open that door to your heart and receive him into your heart by faith, believing that he is who Scripture says he is, the only Son of God, and that he died to pay the price demanded by God for your sins. And when God raised Jesus from the grave on the third day, God the Father was declaring that Jesus' sacrifice paid the price once for all time for the sins of the world. There is nothing that stands between you and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Will you repent of your sins and let Jesus come in? Will you let him in? If you feel the call of God upon your heart, will you turn from your life, your leading, and embrace the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior? I pray you will, while there's still time. For those here, we will have people here in the front of the church to pray with you immediately after our closing prayer. For those watching online, please know that you can call our office anytime or contact us through our website. Our pastors are eager to send you any information you may desire or meet with you to answer any questions you may have. Scripture tells us that today is the day of salvation. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but enter into the joy that awaits you in Christ Jesus. He loves you, and the hound of heaven is waiting for you to accept his offer of forgiveness and eternal life. He stands at the door and knocks. Will you invite him in? Praise team, would you lead us in the closing song, and then I'll dismiss us in prayer. Thank you.